What's up, everybody? The champs in the house. We got the Justin the Highlight Gaethje on the, in the studio tonight, right off the bite. We actually, this was kind of just kind of thrown in today. He hit me up. He's like, let's do this podcast. Watch some fights. And hell yeah, you know, anytime I can watch fights, I get to have a drink with the champ.
Yeah, I missed you, dude. Oh, we hung out all week last week, and then you left me. I haven't seen you in like 3 days.
Yeah, I'm sure you missed me a whole lot.
I miss punching you.
That's probably what you miss. What's up, champ, dude? Tell the people right away. I mean, you've been doing this since, in all your interviews, you've been saying you've been training for this for, you've been training your whole life, 4 years old as a wrestler. And now that you, I mean, this is a big, big step to get to the main goal that what you want is a world championship. I mean, to beat Khabib. How's this feel right now? I mean,
to get a chance to fight Khabib.
To fight Khabib, huge. Beat Tony.
Feels good, man. What a crazy spot. It's crazy how fast life can change, man. I was just asking for a chance or a say in my destiny. And now Conor McGregor is begging me on his knees for a fight. So, you know, within a matter of days. So it's just crazy how the tide can turn, man. Just, you know, if you stay the course.
Ah, man. And I think you're probably the most truest person, I don't know, that's ever, like, when you say something, you mean it, right? Like, you say, like, hard work pays off, karma is a bitch, and karma's been a great thing for you because that's, like, what kind of person you are, I think, you know?
I don't know if it's true, but if it is, then with what I do, I better try to be on the right side of it. So yeah, I take a lot of time and energy to try and put myself on that side.
So I mean, right now we're on the TV screen.
I'm trying to watch fights through his big ass head.
Right now we're watching the UFC that's going on in Florida. We just left there. What, 3 days ago? 2 days ago?
We left Sunday at like 6 a.m.
Yeah. With no sleep.
We touched down in Colorado probably 10 and a half hours after the fight.
Yeah, dude, it was crazy.
So that was sweet.
Part was good, but I should have thought more because I try to stay up for Mother's Day and hang out with my kids. Dude, I was struggling.
I was celebrating. You didn't stop drinking till we had to go to the airport at 6. You didn't stop drinking till 5:30.
So. I know. On the way to the airport, I was still drinking. It was a good time, man.
My dad, Ray Gaethje, would be proud.
Yeah, I know. We missed Ray. We missed Ray, but we did it. We did it for him. Tell us, dude. You know, I was on Instagram, and I had a lot of people hit me up before, you know, being a world champ. Like, talk to us about your training prior this fight. I mean, minus the whole lockdown, you know, in the situation. Just talk. People want to know, like, what's your regimen? Some people think, you know, overtraining or how much do you train?
You hear some of these guys saying they're, you know, they're training 3 or 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day. That's not the case with me. I do 2.5 hours. I don't start, you know, I won't do a workout before 11 a.m. My first workout's usually at 11:30, 12. And then I'm done by 2. You know, I do a workout, and then I take about 45-minute break. I do another hour and a half workout, and then I'm done for the day. I go home, get off my feet, you know, play some video games, try to sit down. You know, I have a hard time sitting down. So really just try to do nothing, concentrate on what I'm eating. But yeah, there's definitely such thing as overtraining. I'm training to be explosive for 25 minutes. You know, I don't need to go run 10 miles, 15 miles, because that's not what I'm training my body for. You know, these are short sprints. It just happens to be, you know, a lot of sprints.
Yeah, well, and I think you kind of got it down to a science. Like right now, I mean, if anything doesn't show that Justin Gaethje can't go 5 rounds, well, then you're crazy, because if you didn't watch that fight on Saturday night, this boy's good. The boy good.
Good. I was good. That dude is... Chael, I've been hearing Chael Sonnen that he thinks I may have surprised myself, and man, he's right. I was surprised. You know, I was surprised I could hold that pace for that long, fight that long. I wasn't surprised at, you know, the success, but I was surprised, you know, definitely that fool wasn't going down. But yeah, I guess my ability to react and perform under that pressure. You know, that's what separates one from another. You know, we all have a lot of skill, a lot of hard work. We all work hard, but being able to perform, you know, under those lights, it's a special trait, and I got it.
Yeah, you definitely got it. I mean, that's one thing that I noticed. I mean, obviously, you're just a tad bit, just a little bit more athletic than me, but not much. But when I fought in the UFC, it was the way you perform is just thing. I was so nervous.
Scared. Why are you scared?
I don't know, dude. I just get nervous. It's kind of like you, like letting my family down and my friends down. And that's what's going through my head when I was fighting.
If you try your hardest, you know they're gonna be happy. And
I know, but it was a mental thing.
They never cared if you won or lose. Yeah, but you did. So you did it to yourself. You sat there and kicked your own ass like a dummy.
I did, and I mean, and that's honestly like
a lot of these guys have.
It's nuts. And I talked to the guys tonight at the gym. Like, dude, was he nervous going on? I was like, that's one thing about Justin is like, I'm way more nervous than he will ever be in a fight. Like. It's nuts. Like, this guy's out there about to go have the best time of his life, dude. And yeah, it's nuts. You say it, dude.
There's not a bit, dude. Not a bit of fear. You see it. Once the fight week gets here, I mean, I'm sleeping like 9-10 hours a night. Sleep so good. Sometimes it's hard for me to get proper sleep before because I'm so anxious to get to this moment. But once fight week's here and we fly in, man, there's nothing else to worry about. It's all been done. Every time someone's scared to go to the cage or to make the walk, it's probably and most likely because they didn't do the proper things to be ready to prepare for that instance. And when you know that, you can never lie to yourself. You know, you constantly ask yourself, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing everything? But you can't lie. You know, they could try and lie to themselves, but once you start walking,
yep.
Even if you're not asking the question, it's like, you lied, you son of a bitch.
100%.
You're scared, so.
100%. And mine was, did I do enough road work? And I didn't. You know what I mean?
I didn't.
And I know it. And every time we go to Red Rocks and I see you run, and I do it,
You ride on your bike. But
I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah, smug. Yeah. The thing is, when we go to Red Rocks, I know. For a fact, I never did hardly half the work that you did, and that's what the outcome is.
I mean, I don't know why after the first time, you fucking did it again.
I did.
Why would you do it once and then do it again? Dude, I'm just running. You're killing me, Smalls. Every step.
It is.
One's money, one's glory. Left foot's money, right foot's glory. Money, glory.
I like the easy way out, and it cost me.
I know.
It's crazy.
It always feels good when it's over. It sucks when you're doing it.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, and the other guys were asking, like, during, you know, this whole lockdown on COVID-19,
tell those guys to don't take shortcuts. Quit being bitches.
Yeah, I quit taking shortcuts.
What else?
No, they were asking, like, how did you fight Tony? Like, how much did you focus on your wrestling going into this fight?
Yeah, I focus on my wrestling. I do it every week. This one was actually pretty crazy. There was this 22-year-old kid that he was here from college. His name's Ryan Deacon, and I haven't been, you know, I'm terrible with names, and I don't watch much wrestling. I don't know many football players' names. But they were like, hey, this kid Ryan Deacon wants to come wrestle. I was like, cool. Yeah, I need partners. And then my coach, Ben Charrington, walked in one day. He's like, Ryan Deacon's here? Because I guess he was outside parked in his car and saw him pull up. And I was like, yeah. I was like, who's that? He's like, oh, dude. He's like, he's going to fuck you up. I was like, oh, fuck. He's like, he's number one in the nation, undefeated all year for Northwestern 157. I was like, oh, shit, dude. And, dude. That was so the week before I got the call to fight Tony is when he started coming in and joining our wrestling practice. And we wrestled once, and man, he made me feel like a child. And then I got the call to wrestle Tony, and he came in the next week. And I was like, you know, I'll be more on point, you know, more focused. And dude, I walked down and I was like, dude, I don't think I can fight Tony, dude. Like, I just got raped by a little 22-year-old kid. I was like, what if he feels like that when I get in there? Oh, shit. So, yeah, dude, I've been wrestling. I wrestle every week. Wrestled since I was a kid. But, yeah, man.
Like,
the only answer to why Tony couldn't take me down is my feet, dude. I was on skates. I was on skates the whole fight. You have to be at a certain distance to take a shot to get to someone's legs. And I made sure that he was never comfortable at that distance. That's why he wasn't able to take me down. He wasn't doing the Imanari rolls. That's why he looked so far off when he tried it. Because I controlled space.
Not even the takedowns, but like striking. He couldn't hit you.
Space.
It was space unbelievable.
Is the most important factor in every single fight. It's something that nobody sees, and it's determined in the first 30 seconds. You both have a space you want to fight at, and only one person gets to pick and fight at that space. You know, I won that battle. It was so important. I said it before. If you go back and look at some of my interviews, I said that's going to be the most important factor. It's going to be the hardest thing to figure out. But Trevor's been working on my feet for so long, dude. And like I said, I was skating out there. It was like a ballerina, dude, performing an act. It was a masterpiece is what it was. But the reason is because of my feet.
Absolutely. I mean, you brought up the name Trevor Whitman, and you and I both know Trevor. But, like, tell – what's up? You need a beer?
I'm empty.
Well, hold on, little pilgrim.
I got it.
We're prepared.
Big time podcast.
Yeah, we're rolling. I don't know about big time, but we play it off good.
Fake it till you make it, dude.
Yeah, we fake it till we make it. So we all know Trevor. Trevor Whitman. He was the founder of TKO back in the day when I first moved up here. Then it got changed to Grudge MMA. And that's when I met Justin for the first time. Justin, tell the people about Trevor, man. Like, I mean, I can tell people everything about him, but when it comes from the champ,
it was perfect. I mean, I don't even. It's even better, because you know, basics rule everything, and he keeps it so basic. Even an uneducated eye was able to watch on Saturday and notice that my corner was a factor in that fight. Not only in that fight, but especially opposed to what we were, you know, what was the on the other side of the cage. You know, it's not that they aren't good coaches. It's that they, you know, for one, didn't give me credit for what I was capable of. You know, they didn't understand what I could do before that fight even started. And then once it happened, man, they were on their heels. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to teach a guy how to control space? You know, talk to him about controlling space in the heat of the fire. Like,
too
that's
late.
Not going to happen. And that's late. What Trevor is. You know, we worked on everything. Everything I did out there, we've been working on for so long. You know, I never understand it until it's over, until after. But, yeah, once you go back and watch it, man, people ask me, you know, they say I changed. I didn't change, you know. It was always a choice. Life, you know, life is a choice. And I made the choice to fight that way. It's not like I just all of a sudden became a more skilled athlete or a more skilled fighter. I always possessed those skills. And I made the choice to fight the way I fought. You know, and now it's a choice to not fight like that. That's all I did. I went home after I lost twice, and I made the choice not to fight like that anymore. And it's literally as simple as that. That's the only thing that's happened in between those fights.
Absolutely. I mean,
and that's because of Trevor, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Once I lost, you know, then you know, no matter how good of an athlete or how coachable you are, you know, I was undefeated, 25 wins in a row. At what point do you say, you know, let's go back to the drawing board? You have to keep going. You're on a path, so I had to keep going. So it was good, you know, like I said, I always say it was great that I lost because you know, I was able to make that choice.
Well, it's that saying, like, if it ain't broken, why fix it? You know, if it's working, why fix it? You know, until it happens, it happens. And then most people can't teach old dogs new tricks. You know what I mean? And obviously you're not an old dog because I think you're just.
Yeah, but every fighter on earth would benefit for sure from Trevor. But
absolutely.
The opportunity to train. He trains me and Rose.
Yeah, two fighters.
You hear all these fighters talking about how they love this training process through the quarantine because they love the one-on-one access to the coach. Every single one of my workouts is like that. He's at every single one of my sparring sessions, and he's only watching me. He's only instructing me. Every time we work out, it's only me and him in the room. So, yeah, man, I'm so fortunate to have, for one, you know, that access and then that man. You know, he's a genius when it comes to fighting. He's an artist. He went to art school. He can make anything with his hands. He makes all of our equipment at Onyx with his hands, with the sewing machine. So, yeah, it's cool to have him in the corner. Confidence is everything, and it definitely is, you know, a good affirmation of confidence for myself when I step in there and go to battle.
And, you know, just saying all that stuff about Trevor, but, like, Trevor is notorious for talking about all these one-liner jokes.
They're called dad jokes.
Yeah, with dad jokes. But, like, he just makes fighters feel comfortable. He doesn't put any more pressure on them. He knows how to talk to them. But when it's time, when he speaks, he speaks. And he tells you what he needs to tell you.
I mean, that was two people going to work. We went to work. I've never said yes, sir, to him outside of a fight. You know, I never even knew I said that in the fight until I watched it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we go to work, we go to work.
Yes, absolutely.
There's nothing that can deter us or distract us. So it was beautiful.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the Onyx gloves because I have some questions about that and let the viewers know and listeners. But talk to us about fight week. Like, when you leave Colorado, your house, and you go back into, you know, you get checked in, you know it's fight week, what's going through your head right there? Like, the hard work's done, or, you know, like, it's time to get serious? What is it?
No, it's literally, it's pure joy the whole time. You know, I get to,
well, those guys were scrapping.
You guys flew out with me. We almost missed our flight. And from the second we leave the house until after the fight, you know, it's all joy. You know, say it a million times before I'm done. You control your thoughts and emotions, and, you know, you can take positives from anything. And yeah, man, I'm constantly soaking up the good energy. You know, we're constantly joking around. You know, we all have a very, very specific role, even though none of us, it's an unspoken role that none of us have ever talked about. You know, you as opposed to Ben, as opposed to Trevor, as opposed to my brother Marcus.
Absolutely.
And it's just, you know, I think nothing about the fight. You know, if anything, it's just thinking about weight, hoping that the weight cut doesn't suck. Because I've done it my whole life. I know how bad it could suck, and this was the easiest weight cut of my life. But it's just controlling my emotions, making sure that I do not let doubt creep in, not for 1 second. And when it does, and if it does, then you flag it. And if you flag it, then you can attack it, you know, the very next time. But if you let it creep, then it's a battle that you can't even, where do you start? Yeah. So you start at square one. And from the second I leave my house, it's not letting doubt come into my mind, being confident in the preparation, and just, you know, enjoying the moment. Just trying to really be present as possible, and soak it all in, because I know these will be the good old days when I'm done. So I'm trying to just, you know, again, soak it in. I'm glad Trevor's got all these videos he's doing.
Dude, they're so badass, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's great for the fans. It's great for us. It's great for me. Those will be memories that I have for the rest of my life.
That's been, like, the biggest thing that people's hit me up is, like, they love to follow us along. They feel like they're there, and they see. And, you know, the craziest things, I got, like, multiple messages, and I wanted to screenshot them and send them to you guys, is, like, dude, you guys realize you're fighting for a world title. Why are you guys thinking this is all fun and games? You know what I mean? Like, we're not taking it serious, but, you know, because the video obviously shows we're having a great time.
We are. We literally are having a great time. I mean, what is there to worry about, you know, at that point?
It's over. You know,
if you allow it, then it's there. It's absolutely there.
Yep.
But why even worry about it? It literally has not one effect on the fight night, on those 25 minutes. You gotta be perfect for 25 minutes. I tell myself that a lot when I get there. You know, you just gotta be perfect for 25 minutes. That's it. You don't gotta be perfect for today, tomorrow, but on Saturday night, for 25 minutes, you better be perfect.
And you know, it's just been kind of cool because the last, what, 3-4 fights now, this man's been perfect. And it's like we get done, we get in the hallway, and we're going to go do media runs and this and that. And one thing I hear about Justin saying, he's like, man, thank God I was perfect tonight. I was perfect tonight. And it is, man. He knows how to shine underneath the lights. You have fighters that are awesome in the gym, and you have performers. And you are all above, I think. I really do. I mean, you the really gym, are.
Gym's my, that's my playhouse. So when Tony said, it was funny, whenever Tony was like, he just wants me to go to his body. That's why he's saying break his nose. I was like, dude, I offer every single sparring. If you ever come spar with me and you weigh under 190 pounds, $500 if you could drop me with the body shop. I constantly announce, before sparring starts, I say, $500, come get your money right here. And I'll point to my liver because all I got to do is touch it and you get paid. But no one's got paid yet. Carrington Banks almost got paid this camp, closest in the last 3 years to making me go down with the body shot.
It's crazy because when he announces that, it's like everybody's like, oh, yeah, who's this guy? Who's this motherfucker? And then, like,
well, they already know.
Obviously. A lot of them do. Like, some of the guys that come in.
Yeah, when there's new guys, it's even more fun.
It's new guys, right? Like, well, like this camp.
Drew!
Oh, Drew's up now.
He's up next, yeah.
So Drew's fine up next. Drew is one of Justin's sparring partners for this whole camp. I mean, pretty much the last, what, 3-4 fights?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we got a great.
Ever since you went to Elevation, right?
Lightweights, welterweights. We got a great team. So, yeah, we've been sparring each other, punching each other many times.
Tell the crew a little bit where you train at. Go ahead.
I represent Elevation Fight Team out of Denver. That's where I do all my sparring. That's the team I represent. And outside of that, I do all my training at the Onyx gym. We have a little private gym. That's where I do all my wrestling, most of my cardio, all my boxing, kickboxing, all privates with Trevor.
Strength training.
Play a lot of foot pong.
Strength training.
And then strength training, I go to Landau Performance twice a week, Monday, Wednesday. And Landau, man, he's got a great program. He works. He's the head strength conditioning coach for the Denver Broncos, and I'm assuming he builds the program. But Nate Smock is the guy that puts me through all my workouts, and yeah, man, he's constantly pushing me. They're constantly monitoring my heart rate. We had access to this crazy spot with a bunch of neurological, it's not working. techniques, I don't know, like light boards. And
maybe that's a cig of weed.
That might be that. The impact testing, after every fight, before and after every fight, making sure you're hitting the same benchmarks. Just trying to do what I can do.
Well, Nate's a G dude at what he does, man. I mean, I've been there firsthand to watch some of the stuff that he does, and it's just so sports specific and like athlete specific. I think majority.
That's the ocean.
You know what I mean?
Pacific Ocean.
What'd I say?
Pacific.
That's the Crown Royal. Pacific. That's the Crown Royal. Pacific. Pacific.
Specific.
Come on, dude. This is my podcast, not you, not Justin a Highlight Podcast. Come on, you know this is the Lukeism show.
No, dude, we started this.
This is the Lukeism show.
At least I'm the co-host, baby.
Hey, we ain't going nowhere, dog. We just getting started, Because, dude, the funniest thing is everybody's just been hitting me up and saying we going sizzler. We going, sis. Oh, is it? What is this?
Fucking sushi, baby.
Where are you at?
That's only the top 6 to 15.
You're number one. No. You know what's crazy is, I look at this and I see all these killers on there.
It's a great weight class,
dude. It's a stacked weight class, dude.
It's a great weight class.
It's a stacked weight class. And how does it feel to come in out of the WSOF, and you come straight into the fucking top food chain, and now you're fucking.
I mean, feels damn good. I've been saying it. I believed it. I know a few people around me believed it since day one. But, you know, undoubtedly so. There's a lot of people, some of the closest people, and no fault to their own, that had a doubt, you know. But it feels good. You know, I knew all along that, you know, for one, you know, I was crazy. I got dense bones. Dense bones are such an asset. I'm crazy athletic. So I knew it was just a matter of time and being perfect. You know, I never, again, I didn't know until I lost. You know, I had no idea that I could make that choice and that I was making that choice until then. But it feels good to come in and, you know, it's cool because, like, a lot of people used to talk shit about Ali, saying that they couldn't believe the WSOF was paying me this much, paying Marlon that much. And, dude, you know, just
and look at you guys
doing them wrong, dude.
Right?
It feels good.
Tell the people a little bit about Ali, like who he is, like, you know, and how long you've been working with him. And
yeah, so the reason I'm working with Ali and it's because of Trevor. Trevor, whenever Ali was living in Colorado Springs, you know, I wasn't, but in high school probably, maybe yeah. I just got to college. But, you know, Ali was training at Grudge with Trevor, under Trevor. And then he started being a manager, you know, and Trevor was like, dude, he, you know, when we got to the point where I knew that, you know.
You need a manager.
And it was late. It was probably not until my after my 13th pro fight, maybe, 12th pro fight. And then it was time to, you know, negotiate for real money. And, yeah, Trevor said, you know, I've known him forever. I trust him. You know, I know a lot of his fighters. Not one fighter's ever talked bad about him. I think this is the guy you should, you know, use as your manager. And then, yeah, I took him on. And, man, it's been great. Been great, man. He works hard. He works hard, and he's constantly fighting for me. You know, even though he has countless, you know, 70, 80, 90 guys, you know, no matter what, I call him, he answers. You know, he's constantly calling me. And not just me. This is not just him, not just now. This is back in World Series days. If we need money, if he knows you need money, you know, he's always obviously there to help in that regard. So, yeah, man, he's got your back. Feels good to know that, you know, I always told him that whenever I got the right cards, you know, I'm going to go to war for myself. And that's in regards to my pay, the pay scale, what I get paid, what I'm compensated for, what I do, forgetting ultimately just the recognition and for what I do in there. And I know that he's the guy that can get me, you know, he gets all his guys paid the most, but he will, you know, make me the most money. He's a savage. People could talk all the shit they want, but that fool's my manager, man, and he gets the job done. I couldn't be happier.
You know, and for you guys that don't know Ali, I actually meet him, fought at the same time.
Hey, you met him before I met him.
Yeah, like, I've known him for, I don't even know, since like 2000, 2004, 2005. Oh,
damn, you're fucking old.
Yeah, dude, I was fucking whooping people's ass when you were dangling in your daddy's rucksack.
Rucksack? You fucking idiot.
But no, Ali, he was like a prince. He would come out with a python, dude, or a snake, the Prince Ali, dude, and he would judo everybody up, dude. He would toss dudes through the ropes, like, seriously. So he's a G. Like, it's just funny to see how things transform. Dude, the guy, how many guys does he manage that are world champs?
I don't know. Well, I mean, all of them.
I mean, pretty much all of them, right?
Yeah, he's got 125, 135, not 145. He's got two at 155. He's got 170. So,
was that? It's crazy.
Six of them?
Yeah. It's not, and that's like, that's just.
He's not doing bad for himself.
No, he's definitely not bad.
And he's smart because he don't got to get punched in the face.
Yeah, dude, he's definitely smart. Who's up now, Drober?
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, dude, we want the Drewster to win.
Fat fucking head.
No way, dude. So Drew actually is a boy from Nebraska.
Hey, take it easy. I'm on your team.
Dude, I will knife you, I swear to God.
I have the knife.
I want the knife, please. What was that, the Golden Child? I want the knife.
I think that was before my time, Luke.
Yeah, the Golden Child, Eddie Murphy? What? How do you not know that? Oh, Justin. Ooh, so much talking shit behind your back.
Some assholes talking shit behind my back.
Oh, man. Hey, so before this fight gets started, real quick, break it down.
Cool. Break what down? He's going to fuck him up.
Break it up. Break it up real quick. Ali manages Khabib as a world champ. Same weight class as Justin. Justin, your next fight is against Khabib. What's that mean to you? Like,
that, for, that means for Ali is he's going sis.
Yeah.
Like, he's
going that means both y'all going scissors. Yeah, all three of y'all going
it's
scissors,
perfect,
bro.
Man. It's beautiful.
It's good. It's good timing, man. Come on, Drew. So we're going to take this short recess break real quick. Oh, he's coming out clubbing at this time real quick. I want to give him.
He's aggressive.
Yes.
Who's going to catch him?
Yes.
My only worry was he's standing off. Watch, once he gets he's going to be turning into a little bitch. Because he's a bitch.
Yeah, get it, Drew.
Hernandez is such a pussy.
Yeah, come on, baby.
She's going to fuck him up, dude. I bet.
I don't want to bet against you. Because I like Drew. Drew's the Nebraska boy, man. He's from Omaha, I think, or Lincoln, I think.
Omaha,
right? Yeah, around Papillion, I think.
Not Lincoln.
Yeah, Omaha.
We fought Lincoln together.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's Omaha, dude. Yeah, he was a G in Lincoln.
Just sit down.
Nice.
Don't get too aggressive. Don't get too aggressive.
There you go. There you go. As Gaethje's here watching Drew fight, I like to take
beautiful time. God, that was fucking
take a time out to give props out to Cafaro International, man. They are my dogs.
They got some sweet fucking bags.
Yeah, so yeah, Gaethje knows. I mean, they got gear, they got backpacks, shelters. You know, dude, how about that beanie? You like that beanie, huh? Yeah, that beanie was dope.
That thing's ruined now.
We'll get you another one. Anyways, Cafaro International, check them out at cafaro.net. Check them out. Man, I was rocking a shape charge all week long at fight week, and that pack is the shit. It carried all my camera gear, workout gear, everything, dude. Laptop, hard drive, and some. Dude, the shape charge, hands down, is probably the best bag I've ever worn from them, honestly. Day-to-day pack. You know what I mean? Like, the everyday carry, the shape charge is where it's at. And I use the Sherman pocket on top of that. Oh, money, money, money. And you know the one and only, I had it in Crip Tip. So,
Crip what?
Crip Tip. Crip Tech. This whiskey's kicking in, bro. Uh-oh. And I had it in Crip Tech.
Sloppy.
So
nice, baby, nice.
He's owning the ring. That's for damn sure. Oh yeah. But
turn up here.
Turn up a little bit. All right, I got you. So anyways, that's another that brings up another partner with me. I want you guys to holler at my boys at I can't even say Tito Knives no more because it's called Tito Knives. I had them on the podcast. He said,
motherfucker, I know you say everything wrong, but can you at least say our company name right? For fuck's sake.
He was like, I ain't gonna argue with you. I don't want my ass whooped.
Yeah, right. I'm like, dude.
No. Everybody had, it was a 50-50. Everybody said Tito. He goes, I don't care. As long as people buy it, whatever you want. What happened? What did you do, dude?
Hey, I'm watching the fight on my phone. Let me call you back.
Okay. Does your Rogan text you?
No.
Come on, talk with him? He said he would love to have you and Trevor on.
Perfect. Sweet. I'll call you.
Speak of the devil, that was Ali, his manager, hitting him up saying that he's going on Joe Rogan and Trevor's going with him. They going sizzler.
No, I'm excited to talk to him.
I know, dude. Dude, that's like that's the platform, bro. I mean, you fight on the biggest stage. You might as well be on the biggest podcast besides mine. Oh, come on, dude. I want to see Dover win.
Shut
knock him out.
Shut the fuck up. It's your fault because we're watching it like this.
Your boy freaking called you. Anyways, like I was saying, I like to say to my boys over at Tito Knives, Luke over there, thank you for everything you do. This drink's for you. If you guys punch in GU15, you guys save 15%. On your next purchase. And who doesn't like...
This motherfucker needs a Wi-Fi sponsor, dude.
Come on, Justin. Oh. Hey, Justin. You know Shutta? Oh, come on, dude.
My Aunt Shutta.
Hey, was that his... What is that, toe?
My Aunt Shutta.
Oh, man. Drew looks
Shut
like...
Shut the fuck in... up, dude.
Jesus.
What?
He's looking for a way out. He's, who's cornering him?
No, he's not that big.
Who's cornering him? Oh, what's the name? Oscar and who? Christian?
Zabriskie.
Okay, yeah.
And someone else?
Maybe? I like Oscar, man. Oscar's a G. Anyways, Justin, what's the plan? What's the plan? When do you want to fight again? What's the rumors?
I don't know. August, September, probably.
Well, let's do more August before September.
Fuck you, dude. You don't got to fight. I do.
I know, but come on, dude. We go. Yeah, we go elk hunting, dude.
We got to give your tummy a break, dude. Hey, so wait. I answered your question. Now you have to answer. What's going through your mind the whole week when we fly there in the whole week?
Man, honestly, like, it's so fun. Man, you got bitches blowing you up or what?
Keep talking.
You got bitches blowing you up?
No, go.
Anyways, oh, fuck. Dude, it's not
Tell
my
the
week.
Story.
I would quit hitting me. Anyways, God damn, Justin. I wasn't ready for that one. Fight week, man. What's going through my head is...
I wish I could have a fucking literally access to your brain because, especially on fight night.
Fight night's way different than fight week, bro.
He acts so hard. Yeah, you're going to lead us into that. Start on Wednesday.
I'll start on Tuesday when we get there, when I get my nose tested.
Wednesday this week.
Oh, it's Wednesday. Yeah, you're right. God, you're so smart. Dude, when we got there, it was all kind of chaos with the whole testing and everything and a bunch of people. But I'm cool all the way up there. And then, like, when I... kind of get a little time to myself. I start breathing a little heavy. I start thinking. I'm like, man, dude, this is a huge fight. Because as a fighter, I know what he's going through. And he either is a fucking OG, triple OG that doesn't give a fuck, which we all know that he really doesn't. He just prepares. But, like, as me, I'd be like, man, I'd be sweating, pacing back and forth. And, you know, each day goes by, weight cuts a little bit easier. Stop that shit. Stop that. Well, nice job, Drew.
Drew!
That's my dog.
This is going to turn to a bitch so quick. Watch.
Yeah, this
right
is
right in front of your eyes. Yeah. It's going to be fucking beautiful.
Yeah, he's going to smoke him. Oh, it's confidence.
It's going to be beautiful, dude. It's
great
be
job.
Beautiful.
But anyways, like, fight week is awesome because I get to hang out with, like, Ben, Trevor, your brother. I mean, dude, these guys are... all like my brothers, like seriously, like I've known them. Well, obviously I've known Trevor for a long time. I've known Ben short term, but I feel like I've known him forever, dude. I'm actually going tomorrow to go shoot some photos for him for a couple houses he's hooking me up with. So it's dope. Like it's sweet, you know.
Ben's awesome, dude.
Yeah, Ben's just a straight awesome dude. Likes to drink awesome beer. He's introduced me to a lot of cool beers that gets me a little pickle tickled. And
get your tickle pickled?
Yeah, Ben's a G, man. He's just so cool. And, you know, since you brought him in camp, this was the first time that we went out the first round.
Yeah, dude, that's what I've been. I was saying that before. I was like, he hasn't faced adversity yet.
No,
it's gonna be funny when he does.
And he did. He was cool, yeah, man. He was cool. He was at one point. He was like this on me, grabbing my tricep. He was squeezing me, and I was like, "Damn, dog, leave me alone." He was squeezing that fucker hard, dude.
Was Marcus stopping
you? And then Marcus was hugging me like always, you know. And but yeah, I don't know. I think after, I think, you know, getting up, doing the weight cut, doing the weight cut is probably the most, one of the stressful parts of me, because that was always stressful for me. But you make it so easy. I mean, obviously this camp was money, because what'd you cut? 1 pound?
I woke up, yeah, pound 1.2 over.
1.2 over day of weigh-ins.
Started at 163 on Thursday night, worked out for like an hour and 20, got down to 156.6, and I went to bed at 157.4, woke up at 156.2. It was money.
Yeah, it was money. I mean, and we didn't even have to do a bath.
No.
This is the first camp we never did a bath, and it was awesome. I mean, everything was just...
Oh, yes! He's a bad motherfucker. Let's go.
Oh, good body.
Dude, pick your shots. Pick your shots. Pick your
yeah,
shots.
Yeah, I like it. He's not rushing. He's not rushing.
Yes!
Oh, he's hurt.
Fucking dude, he turned
oh,
it
yeah. Oh, no. Oh, he's good. He's good.
Doesn't matter.
He's going to recover. He's just trying to recover. Oh, throw some elbows. Yes, throw the elbows. Throw the elbows.
Get up. Don't waste any time down there.
Dude, Drew Dober, if you don't know who Drew Dober is, his legs are so huge, dude.
That motherfucker got heavyweight legs.
Oh, my God. His thighs, calves.
Got some junk in the trunk.
Dude, he got some legs on him. Good for him. Come on, Drew. So, but yeah. And then when it comes to fight night, like the whole fight day, I'm cool.
This kid's broken, dude.
Yeah, he's done.
I promise you that.
Yeah, he's done.
I promise you that. Unless he gets caught, he's going to fucking break this motherfucker.
Oh, great shot. Oh, yeah, he's done, dude. That's three piece.
Oh!
Yes!
Stop
it! Oh, come on. Get him. Get him. Get him. Oh, what is he doing?
He turned into a bitch. Come on. Stop being so aggressive.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Get on, Drew. Oh, come on, Dean. Come on, Herb. Look at this guy.
Yes!
Stop this fight.
Yes!
Boom. Yeah. Great job, Drew.
Fuck that. Dance on that motherfucker.
That's another one. That's another one.
Fucking beautiful, dude.
Dude, hell yeah. Great job, Drew.
Yes.
Great job. So, fight night. I get, I actually have to go work out, do a little run, pump a little iron, think about shit. And, man, we get there, be cool. But, and I'm cool the whole time there. Like, it's such a cool experience to be a part of the UFC as a fighter. I don't care if you're a prelim or whatever. But with this guy, it's extra special because you get the main event every time. I mean, he gets it all. You know what I mean? Like, so everything starts kicking in. And, like, as much as I sometimes don't like this guy, I love this guy because he's like my brother. It's just like, man, it's like your brother's going in to fight and you can't do nothing about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just him. And then when he's in the back room warming up saying, man, it's a good day to die. Like, he don't give a fuck. Like, he's just having fun.
I was like, I know it's going to scare you guys. I know you don't want to hear it. But somebody's ready to die tonight. Let's go. And then Luke started throwing up.
So I don't start throwing up. It like hits me out of nowhere. Like my knock gets.
I look at him like, how you doing? He's like, dude, I'm good. Shit. Good. No problems. I'm like, oh, all right, cool. And literally on his face, it's like.
I just turned pale. I don't know what it is. It's like when we're flying and we hit that turbulence and it just like my stomach comes upside down. And it's all of a sudden I have to run to the bathroom and I puke. And it's just like. It's I don't know. I can't explain it, guys. I really can't. It's something that I think it's going to happen, but it doesn't happen. So then I'm like, oh, I'm cool, man. Not this time. And then all of a sudden, bam, it hits me. And then I'm like, this motherfucker. I don't know why. It just does, man.
In your head when that happens, man.
I don't know. What I'm thinking is, I don't want nothing bad happen to you, man. It really is. Like,
I just don't, because I know this motherfucker will take this shit to the extreme. You know what I mean? Like, he'll take this shit to the next level, and he, like, his body will fucking say, quit, motherfucker. Quit. He'd be like Tony, his fight.
That is a scary thing.
It is, dude. Exactly, and Tony's corner.
That's actually exactly why you throw up.
That's exactly why I throw up, dude. And I know, like, me and Trevor would never let that happen. Never. I would have.
I would have wanted 1 minute of the fifth, and then it was time.
I don't know, dude.
I would have never argued if he didn't let me answer the fifth.
Yeah, but man, I just.
I would have been fucking pissed inside because I got my ass beat, but I wouldn't be mad at him.
Yeah, you can't, man, because our job is to take care of you. What'd he say? Let's turn it up. Oh, I didn't know DC was up there. Come, Katie. Oh, what are you doing, dude? You are. Anyways, Justin just took the TV off. I don't know what he's doing. Saying my Wi-Fi is shitty, probably.
It's not. It's because of the whole fucking setup. I have literally your podcast guest has to fucking bring the fights. To pay for them for you.
Hey, I got an illegal streaming box in my house. We don't have to pay for shit, bro. Like you were friends. Oh my god. But yeah. So back to me, Fight Night, man. After it's all said and done with, when Justin wins, it's easy breezy, bro. It's the best time. It's the best experience. Like I told Trevor when he, you know, like Trevor's always trying to. Yeah, we missed it all. He goes, Trevor interviewed me in the video. Hold on, I want to hear what he says. Good for him. Hell yeah. Look at his legs, dude. Holy shit, dude. Look at his body. He's a... Look at him. I heard you. Everybody be wearing masks there. Not us.
His coaches weren't, were
they? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were wearing them. Here's the next thing, Justin, before we get off topic. Okay? What is it like to hold that belt? Is it more just material things to you, or what is it? Does it have a meaning?
I don't have one feeling about it.
No? It doesn't feel like you're number one? No? He's shaking his head, because this is a podcast, Justin.
Oh, no. No. I mean, for one, you know, it will feel different when I beat Habib. I know that. I never pictured it around my waist. I never pictured before when they handed it to me. I was like, oh shit, I didn't think about this. So that was cool.
You could see it in the interview when you were getting interviewed by what's her name? What's that?
Olivia.
Yeah. And she said, how's it feel to...
That was a shirt. I didn't know I was wearing that shirt.
The shirt, the black and like, the gold lettering.
Who and how did they get this thing on?
Yeah, daddy got it, did his job. When they handed it to me, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. I put mine on right away. I was like, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Dude, after the fight, I haven't seen you so amped up. After a 5-round war?
Dude, there's literally like my body is in a state that is not normal.
No, hell no. You were not normal, dude. Your veins were sticking out of your neck. Veins were sticking out of your shoulders. Veins were sticking out of your bicep. Biceps had veins coming out of them. Dude, you were so...
It's life and death.
Yeah, whatever, dude.
You can be comfortable there, dude. Like, you're not in... Like, you don't walk around like that all day, every day. You know, it's like... Near death experiences, you feel it, you know, in a car and outside of that. But
I mean,
I'm sure it's the feeling they get in the heat of like a gunfight. I'm sure it's the feeling they get then. To life, yeah, dude. Like your body, through evolution, survival of the fittest. the guys that were able to function in that, under that pressure and in that capacity, they're the ones that passed on their genes, per se. But I mean, it's a skill that I've honed. It's in all of us. But I've done a very, very, very. My dad, dude. My dad is literally a genius. The man's a genius. I have a twin brother, but I had too much energy for him. So when he wasn't outside playing with me. My dad was outside throwing a ball, throwing a baseball, throwing a football, chipping a golf ball. Now I see him do it with my nephew. He'll literally throw a ball onto the roof, and all you can do is hear it. You can't see where it's. You can hear it where it's rolling down. But as a kid, you can't see up there on the roof. And he does it at night. And so you have to react. And it's just reactions. I've been working. My dad has, been doing these small things my whole life that have, honed my reaction time and my ability to not hesitate and to just do what my body needs me to do, without thinking about it, is why I am, the fighter that I am. I've said it. You'll go back. Initially and or eventually and find it in previous interviews where I said, my reactions are why I will be great. It's because I can fire. That's why I don't have one thought process in there. It's just fire. It's like a constant. I'm there's pretty much like 13 different, 14 different songs going off in my head. I'm constantly moving to one of those rhythms, and you can always change the beat, and that's what's mixing these guys up. That's why I can go through and show, I can go down and break down a fight and show you how and why I did something, and you can't plan for it, because the more you anticipate something, the easier I can change the beat and beat you, take you off of it. So it's perfect. My style is so perfect for what I do in fighting, and it's my reactions.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfect. I mean, the way you are in the fight or after the fight, I mean, the reaction of after your fight like this one was like, man, that is nuts. I mean, the only way I feel like that is, like that reaction is the only way I feel that way is when I hear the bartender say, last call. Beer, man.
Oh, fuck. All right. I think we killed it. That was a great podcast.
Oh, it's definitely good. Let everybody know, tell people this is good beer. I promise you. You'll like that. It's a Mexican beer.
Victoria.
Tell people you're Mexican.
I don't have to tell them. All you got to do is watch me fight.
Okay.
Proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding. There you go. Real quick, Justin. What's plans this I know you got big fights coming up, winning world championships and this and that, but what do you want to accomplish this hunting season?
What do you mean?
What do you want to go after? Do you want to go hunt some elk? Do you want
to
hunt some mule deer?
Elk and a whitetail and a mule deer.
Okay. So check this out. If I knew where my phone was, I just kind of wanted to tell you what's going to happen here. And
you're
I know
telling me forever that I was getting these hunts, all these.
So
fucking badass.
I know, and he was gonna. He was actually
wants to take you out on a hunt.
He was,
and then I'm like, well, okay. And then I had to go win a belt just for these motherfuckers to hang out.
Right.
Just to hang out with me.
So he was actually going to be here and tell you this, but Alex from Hunt Nest. He's probably one of the most world-renowned guides here in the United States. He hunts all over. He has a guide's lease. He is going to take you out on a muley hunt, and everybody in this podcast knows, every hunter knows what I'm talking about, because you're going to get a 200-inch muley,
and it's fucking epical, bro.
This is why I'm still your friend. I knew this shit was coming, dude.
Dude, he's gonna take you out.
Let's go,
dude. Alex is a G dog. Like, he's my boy. Like, I'm pissed off he ain't taking me, but I guess I'll go as a cameraman or something. I don't know, man.
Someone to film it.
This is Alex. Alex, dude, he is has the biggest leases, and they're not high fences. They're not. He has the biggest leases here in Colorado, Eastern Colorado, and I'm telling you right now. Motherfuckers are pissed because they pay top dollar for this fucking hunt, for these tags, and he the night of your fight, yeah. He's like, "Tell your boy we're going hunting," and I said I wanted a contract, and he sent it over, and we're going hunting.
Let's go, dude.
Alex is the G man. He lives right up here in Bailey, right next to me, and I told him, I said, "Bro, it'd be cool if you showed up and told him," but. Anyways, I didn't get a hold of him either way.
I don't know what's up with the guy Aaron was talking about that has to eat to my balls.
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
I
want
to see that.
So
you better fucking eat the eyeballs. If not, I'm kicking the shit out of you.
So to find out, right? So, like, I have no idea. Aaron and I on the live talk, what Justin's talking about. And me and Aaron are talking about Gaethje's fight. Everybody's chiming in like, dude, Gaethje's this, Gaethje's that. And then, you know, you guys get feed of people saying about Tony. And rightfully, I respect him because he went to high school with him. Yeah. And he has to, right?
You got
to
pick a side in life and death.
Right. So and
pick a side and go all in. I just wish he bet his house so I could take that shit from him.
So
like, I'm going for your guy. I'm sorry. I'm like, dude. Bet the house.
That's
if
one
you
thing.
Win, you know, I want you to cash in. And when you lose, I get your house. It's mine.
And
you fucking lost it. You don't get to go to sleep tonight. Yes.
And that's the thing. Like, I've known Gaethje. How long? When did me and my wife get married?
Too
like,
long, dude. Too
like
long.
2000 what? 10.
Yeah.
I would say 2010.
Probably when I met you.
Yeah. So 2010, he came in. He was a punching bag for me. Cause I was still an active fighter. I was fucking him up. But you gotta admit, Justin, don't shake your head because you didn't know shit footwork. You didn't know.
That's the thing. I didn't.
Me and Tyler Toter talking. Me and Tyler Toter were talking about it today. We were doing. He came on my Instagram. He's like, dude, what the fuck, dude? It's nuts. This guy came in. All he was a wrestler.
I said it earlier. I knew from day one. I was tossing these motherfuckers. I was a wrestler. I made all this fool was 200 pounds, and I made his fucking feet go above his head.
I was a 155 pounder.
Yeah, but you walked at 200.
I did literally walked at 180, 175, jacked.
On a good day. I was making you fly.
Dude, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, dude, this guy, we literally loved fucking sparring him because it was like, okay, all we have to do is just keep our distance. He talks about fucking rhythm.
Not get grabbed.
We talk about rhythm and not getting in that range of getting hit, taken down. That's all we had to do. And then he found out he could do that too. So, I don't know. I would say when did you enter World Series of Fighting?
By 2013.
Yeah, so 2013. So, I would say probably like 2012, the year I got married, because I remember my wife's like, hey, we got to cut off on everybody going to our wedding, Luke, and I know you want to invite your whole team. We gotta know. And I said, I'm inviting Gaethje. Who's Gaethje? My wife didn't even know who you were at the time.
I'd only met you like two times.
No, I met you a few times. I held pads for you, remember, pussy?
We had sparred, but like...
Yeah. But remember, I hold pads for you after class.
Never, like, hung out on a personal level.
Yeah. No. Well, you used to come over to after my wedding. I think you came over to my house, remember, a couple times.
We're talking about before your wedding, motherfucker.
I know, man. It's the royal kicking in, bro. So, either way, my wife's like, who's Gaethje? And I'm like, oh, dude, that's my boy, man. He's like, he spars me. Dude, I love him. We got, and he's a college student. He's poor. He needs a free meal.
He needs some food.
He needs some food and some drinks. But anyways, and now look at us now. Winning world titles.
Hey.
Hey. Look at these boys. Oh, Ralph. Wow. Dude,
So he was there when I was at Militich, bro.
I like him.
Dude, he's such a G, dude.
It's cool. So with Onyx, we have a 3D body scanner, and we're going before the coronavirus started, and we were able to go to these fights. I would take my company, and we would, during fight week, we would scan these athletes. We're scanning their whole body. Pretty much to get them, we're going to give every single UFC fighter a custom fitted, custom printed fight kit. It includes headgear, shin guards, shin guard knee pad combination, 16-ounce glove, 7-ounce glove, 4-ounce glove. And our 3D body scanner is going to give us the dimensions of their every limb, you know, their head. So we can, you know, the shin guards are going to come in by your shoe size, shin length. You think of guys like Deron Wynn and Tim Means. You know, Tim Means is a 170-pounder. He's like 6'3". Deron Wynn's a 185-pounder. He's like 5'6". You know, and they're both ordering large shin guards because they're small, medium, large. You know, one straps go around twice, and one, you know, is protecting his thigh, and he can't bend his legs right and train right. You know, so we're trying to
develop
that missing link, I guess I should say.
And that's what Trevor does, though. You know what I mean? Like, he adapts to the environment, and he makes things better for everybody. Like,
I mean, he's been around the game for so long.
So long.
He's had so many fighters. I haven't, you know, I've been wearing the gear for 3.5. I'm the tester. I test all the gear. He makes it with the sewing machine in his basement in the office now. I test it. We redo it. I test it. And then once we got our prototype down, you know, then we manufacture it. But before that, dude, everything is handmade.
Yeah, dude. And it's like this week was the first time he's seen those MMA gloves or actually putting them on. I've seen them on you.
Yeah.
But me putting them on, I was like, oh, dude, these things are freaking money, dude.
They're sweet.
So money, dude. The MMA.
The way it's great. He focused on protecting, you know, the outside knuckle and the pointer knuckle.
It's so important.
In boxing, the most common fracture or break is your fourth and fifth metacarpal.
Yep, because they don't roll them over.
No, that's actually the opposite. Fighters' main break is their pointer knuckle, and that's because of space.
Oh, rolling them over.
That's the distance the fight is taking place at. We reach a lot more as fighters because of grappling. We tend to fight at a slightly farther distance apart than boxing for sure. And that's the reason why. So he really took the glove, wrapped it around that finger. For one, it can't be exposed to cut people when you punch them. And for two, it brings more protection to the lead knuckle, which is the most common injury and break in MMA.
And the thing that I, excuse me, I noticed more is my fingers weren't pointed out. Yeah, right? Like for eye pokes.
Yeah, there's a bunch. We have a competition glove. I'm testing it now. But yeah, man, it's a game changer. It's definitely a game changer. It'll be in the league soon.
Yeah, man. I look forward to see that because, dude, Trevor is such a wizard when it comes to
the gloves we fight in are fucking terrible, dude.
Oh, dude. You knew it before the fight, right?
You saw my
My
forearm was cramping up. My left forearm was cramping up so bad from just trying to. I didn't want to call it out,
and Trevor knew it too, dude. But we didn't make it an issue.
Yeah, I can't because it's not.
You can't.
It's
nothing we can do.
Not a factor that will determine the outcome. So why worry about it? But still, dude, I was like, dude, my arm is tired right now. This is bullshit.
And
I knew it was because of gloves. My arm's literally still sore right now, right in that spot.
Yeah, dude. I noticed it at the fight. I was like, God damn, dude, these gloves suck. But what do? You move on, fight on. I don't know, man. It's been fun having you here. I know you got a lot of shit going on. Let's watch this fight.
Watch the fights. My bowl's been sitting over there. Hasn't been touched in like an hour and a half.
I'm ready for it, dude. I'm ready. Don't be scared.
We're going to turn you into Deputy Dog real quick.
Well, don't be scared, dude. I could probably do a rematch, though, on the game. Double or nothing?
You owe me $50.
I know, man. I got this little
71-86. I really don't see a possibility to success for you. There's no way to possibly like overcome that gap.
No, dude, I got smoked. But who's that?
Ollie. All right,
do this. All right, man. Go ahead. Go ahead and answer it.
Wrap it up.
Anyways, guys, thank you again. I can sense your we out. Want a big shout out to my boy over here, Justin Gaethje. He's over there talking to his manager, being big time now. He's a big thing. The main thing is, guys, stay safe out there. Do this and that. I want to give a big shout out to my companies out there, Cryptek Camo, Battlefield of the Backcountry, my boys over at Leopold Optics, American Made, girl Riza over there. She got us. She takes care of us, man. But most of all, my people over at Title Knives, dude. Good. Check them out. Ultra light, ultra sharp. Title Knives. Type in that GU15. Get that 15%. Yeah. And last but not least, my people at Cafaro, man. Aaron, Frank, all of them. The whole crew, man, has been there from day one. Love it, man. They're my cat. They're my peeps. I'm telling you right now, man, that new shape charge is the shiznitch. But anyways, man, guys, telling you, check them out, Cafaro.net, and we out.